Here we go. Parshas Lech Lecha and the Iksavi HaKabbalah. So Parshas Lech Lecha, the blessing of Parshas Lech Lecha is that there's so much in it. That's why my handout tonight is very ambitious. I'm hoping to get as much of this as possible. And so without further ado, let's go in. Now, it's important to note, by the way, last week I mentioned that the Iksavi HaKabbalah, sometimes he'll disagree with other commentaries. And he does this actually a lot with Rashi. We'll say, you know, Rashi says this, and Rashi is Rashi, but I have a real problem with it, and he'll explain it. But he's very polite about it, so that's kind of nice the way that he does it. So when we see some of that, we'll note it. Okay. So the first one which we look at is in the very first passage. Hashem says to Abram, "I need you to go from these places, from your land, your birthplace, your house of your father, to the place that I'm going to show you." And so the question is, you know, many of the commentaries address the, you know, what's with the order, Artzacha and your birthplace and your father. I mean, first of all, they already left the birthplace. That was in last week's parsha. They left and they started to go into Haran. And so basically, is it in backwards order? But he's not in Artzo. He's not in his land anymore. So the Kliak, the Ksav HaKabbalah says the following. He says that this is not about distance. It's not about that kind of a separation. Take a look. He says, it doesn't matter where you live. If you're with your family, you're with your family. And that is the source of your identity. Sometimes your family, they're like strangers to you. But the people who live in your actual household, right? How many people are very, very, very close with their cousins? Okay, some people are, but you know, they're mishpachto, but whatever, they do their own thing. I have cousins who, you know, when we get together, it's all nice and fun, but I otherwise don't have a whole lot to do with them. And that's fine, but you know, it just is what it is. It's distance of place and etc. But the people who live in your house, they're in your thoughts. So first it says the Eretz, and then it says the Moledes, the birthplace, and then it mentions the house. Okay, it's not referring to a physical distance. You can skip to the part which is in bold. It's about your mind. He has to get rid of the identification with the land because those people were terrible. He has to get rid of the identification with his family because they were disgraceful in their idolatry. Right? In other words, there's a lot of thought processes. There's a lot of identification that a person feels with the people of these groups, and that's what Avram was being told to do. It's not about distance. It's not about leaving from this place, because in some cases he wasn't even there anymore. So that's the first point. Next, v'asecha l'goy gadol. So in Pasuk Beis, Avram is told, "I'm going to make you into a great nation." So the focus of the Ksav HaKabbalah is on the word Gadol. What does Gadol mean? And essentially his point is the following. We're just going to skip to the part which is in bold. Hizeh kol adam, av she'enu mizera Avram, kulam ishtashu ba'asogas, amitus ha'nichbados ha'ila. There are people nowadays who identify with what are called the Abrahamic religions. Abrahamic. Why Abrahamic?
Monotheism?
Yeah. So who views Abraham as a key figure in their religion? I mean, we might not like it, but Islam does. Okay, Islam does, and Christianity also. They respect Abraham greatly, and that's the point. He says, "What does it mean, Goy Gadol?" See, if you look at the Jewish people, what's the number of the Jews in the percentage of the world? Very, very small. But if you look at the Abrahamic people, that's most of the world, and so that's the point. He says, everybody who talks about the God of Abraham, he called Goy Eretz, v'chol ish me'an she'olam, asher ya'aleh b'dato, asogas amitus ha'eleh, anybody who identifies with this truth, yomar Eloah zeh she'isagtiu b'sichli b'dati, hu Elohim. They're going to say that this God that I comprehend and understand with my intuition, or whatever, that's the God. It's Avraham who came up with this concept of monotheism. And he tried to teach that. And that's what Ve'ezchal Gadol. Avram, because you recognize me, your teachings of me are going to become widespread around the world. And it took time, but can anyone deny that that's the majority of the universe? I don't think so.
It's not even referring to the Jews.
No.
Well, Abraham didn't come up with it. He bought into it.
Well, and he right. taught it. Spread the word. Okay, so that's his point. That's what the definition of Eschol HaGadol according to Ksav HaKabbalah. Next. So Avram comes to the land, turn the page. Page 56. Okay, so when we see some of the location markers, which are mentioned here in the Pasuk, so here he gets to Shechem, Elon Moreh, later on in Pasuk Ches, we're going to see Beis El and Ai, and Avram is coming to all these places. So the question is, were they named that way at that time, or did Moshe, when he's recording the Torah, is he identifying these places based on their names at the time of Moshe? And so, the Ksavak, at the time of Moshe. Meaning not at the time of Abraham. Okay? Abraham comes to a place. It's like when Mark Twain goes to Israel, right? To whatever, Palestine. So Mark Twain is going to a place. So at that time, there was no such thing as Tel Aviv. He goes to a place called Tel Aviv, which is now Tel Aviv. So now, we say, oh, Mark Twain visited Tel Aviv. Okay? It didn't exist at the time. So and lots of things in the land it just wasn't built up. It's like, why do people want this place? Okay, so but he proves that this is not that the name Shechem, for example, was not the name of the city yet. Abakom Shechem Bavur Shemem Makom Shva Samuch El Shechem Lachem Barur. Sorry, Shemem, like it's Mikom Bishva, not Makom. Mikom, it's the place of a person named Shechem. L'chem barur ki Shechem hu shem ish, lo shem makom. The fact that it's Mikom with a shva, he does this a lot in this parsha, and he probably does it all through his commentary. Ad Mikom, that tells you the place where the guy named Shechem was. V'ta'amo, Mikomo shel Shechem. V'lo matzono b'chol ha-mikra, sheyomar Mikom Yerushalayim, Mikom Tzion. Doesn't when it refers to a place, it doesn't call it the Mikom of. That's not the name of a city. Kamosh Lotamar, Yerushalayim, Yer Tzion, etc. L'chem Pirush Ibn Ezra, Shemoshe Kero Kain, B'Shem Ano Dabi Amav, Ki Bimei Avram Adayin Lo Nolad Shechem. The guy Shechem who we meet in the story of Yaakov and Dina, okay, he wasn't born yet, so the city was not yet named Shechem. It was named for him. Maybe it wasn't even named when he was a prince. Maybe it was named Shechem afterwards because he was a martyr, right? Remember, he was killed by Yaakov's sons.
Yeah.
So maybe they said, oh, let's name it after this guy, Shechem. And that's why, I don't know for sure. But the point is that he's saying, based on the Shva, the word Mikom, that tells us that it's named for a person. And this is Moshe writing it years later based on the name of the city at the time that Moshe lived. Okay, next. So they have to, because of the famine, they have to go down to Egypt. And we have this very strange encounter, or this very strange thing that Avram says to Sarai in Pasuk Yidal. They're going down to Egypt. He says to Sarai, behold, I know you are a beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they're going to say, ah, it's his wife. They're going to kill me and they're going to let you live. So, say that you're my sister. So it should be good for me on your account and I will live on account of you. Okay? So, strange. Right? What on earth is Avram saying? Is he asking for a favor? Is he asking her to lie? Is he basically... giving her over to the Egyptians for them to have their way with her.
No.
All kinds of problems here. Okay? Well, not when you read our man. Okay? You read it. When you read him, you say, oh my goodness, where have you been my whole life? So this is what he says. Okay? Number one. Hine no yadati. Hine no yigia asha sheyesh ledog al yofyech. Yadati zei amim rabim ki yifas mareat. That's Rashi. Rashi says, now I have to concern myself with your beauty, even though I've always known you're beautiful. The devarav milas yadati nifrad min hinei no. Okay, Rashi is saying yadati, I need it, and he's ignoring the hinei no. Umechubar im ki isha. That what's that? How is it broken down? Hinei na yadati ki isha. That I know that you're a beautiful woman. Okay. However, he says ze'en al fiatam. The milas yadati mutam bezakev katan. Okay, look at it. Hinei na yadati. See the tam, the trap. So the pause is on the word yadati. It's not yadati ki isha yifas marayat. That's not the way the chazal broke it down. It's hinei na yadati. So I know something. So what is he saying? He's saying that you can't say yadati ki isha yifas marayat because that doesn't work with the way that the place that this pasuk is punctuated. So therefore, tami ne no yadati atay gi asha shani muchrak l'seis dati umachshavti ech esnaheik. So what I know now is that I need to concern myself how I'm going to deal with the situation. Okay. And basically he's saying, so what the chiddush of the Ksav HaKabbalah is that the word ki is not yadati ki isha yifas, like I know that you're beautiful. It's ki neno yadati. I know that I got a situation here. Ki isha yifas mareat, because, or as he puts it, milas ki kimilas yan ala siba. In other words, since, because you're a beautiful woman, this is what's going to happen. It's not like Avram's coming to Revelation. Ah, now I know you're beautiful. No, it doesn't even follow the punctuation. Okay, I know some. I'm coming to the realization that I have to think ahead because this is the reality. We're going to get to Egypt. You're beautiful. We all know that. And what's going to happen in Egypt is they're going to take you. End of discussion. So if they're going to take you, there's two options. I'm either going to live through this or I'm going to die through this. Okay, what benefit? They're going to take you anyway. That's what they do. They're Egyptians. They're disgusting. You know, that's what they do. They take a beautiful woman. So, what's going to be with me? Okay, so that's the first part. Because you did this, but it's going on the next thing. Not, I know that you are beautiful. Because you listen to your wife, Adam, so the land is going to be cursed, etc. That's the first part. Okay, turn the page. Imri na achosiat in our packet, turn the page. Achosiat pasuk yichimol. I need you to say that you're my sister. Yirtzeh eskem adata chaskam avitiz lebliya yosech liod liisha rak achosiat pnuya v'zeh lo tia mitzidech biyasi suklav atzilas nafshim imabas. Basically, what he's saying is, look, we have to go about this as if we are brother and sister, and we know that they are brother and sister in whatever manner that they define brother and sister. Because everyone says that Sarai is Yiska. Yiska is the daughter of Haran, and therefore she's really his niece. And just as Avram later calls Lot his brother, Sarai is his sister, because Sarai and Lot were brother and sister. And so therefore she's his sister. So what is he saying? He's saying we're married, but at the same time we're also, you know, we have this familial connection. So what I need you to do. This is the Rambam when he talks about the rules of Ishus, marriage. So he quotes him. I just took out the part where he says that this is a Rambam, but anyway, that basically how would people get married? A man and a woman, they would agree. They would move in together, and that was it. They were married. Now, a lot of people today, according to the pre-Torah days, are married. I mean, they're living together. Hopefully I'm not talking about in our community, but in the common law America, they would be married according to these halachas. Okay.
It's like last year we were talking about two gay guys who joined separately.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. So
that's how no permission from parents or anything? That's how
No. A man meets a woman, you want to get married, they move in together, end of discussion. You have one marital relation act.
You don't need conditions, and you don't need nothing.
Okay. Wow. So this is before Matan Torah. So basically he says here, so how does divorce happen then? Then they both say, you know what, it's not working out. End of the story. That was divorce. Okay? They say, we agree, done. And that's the line, fourth line. Gerushin or Shishnei Megarshin says, Ishto Megarashto. There's no concept of Gerushin. Basically, they end their relationship. So what's Avram's idea? Line five. He named Zeatas Avram, he nechonim out. What Avram is suggesting is very smart. He loya derech acheres lefanav latzil snafshomim avas, latzil kamhime asos ba'am zimosa. But there was no other way for him to save himself from being killed and save her from sinning. Kigami me'ar lamus nafsho b'zeh lo yematzil v'sel. But they're going to take her anyway. They're going to rape her anyway, or whatever they're going to do. B'chein ityahitzim sarishto shebe'alakcha b'al korcha le'achad anavalim yitarsu shneihem latir kishur ha'ishuz v'anisuin shebe'neihem lo tiraknuyam m'teres l'chol olam. Avram says, we're done. Our marriage is over. Okay, we're divorced. But again, these are B'nai Noach rules. That we can divorce and we get married later. So what he's saying is, you're single, I'm single. They're not going to kill me because I'm your brother. And you can have relations with anybody. So this way, you're not viewed as a Zayman in whatever way.
Did she?
Yeah. No, I mean, the Torah says that Paro wasn't able to, although he tried. The Av Shebechol HaTorah Shamar HaTorah Ketikuna B'achar B'zel Esnai Kedim B'nei Noach. Okay, we have a tradition that Avram followed all the Torah, but in this, he had to conduct himself like a ben Noach. and that's what he did. V'loshon imrina, ein b'mchavein bo amir be'alma hefecha emes. He's not telling her to lie, but please tell everybody that you're my sister. Okay? Rather, shetishaker ish yusheba v'tomar achos opniya ani levad. That he should lie and say, no, I'm single. Ha'mchavein no amir amitis. He says, we're not married anymore. And therefore, you're saying the truth. That's what you are. That's what you have to say. When they're saying, we are no longer married. We're going down here because we need to be down here for food reasons. And we come in, we're brother and sister, and it's the right. It's good. Okay?
Wow.
So that's the first thing. Told you. Mind blowing. You thought that was mind blowing. I put the whole next thing in bold because of how mind blowing this is. Okay. Avram says, "Leman yitav li b'avurech." Okay, what does Rashi say? Take a look. Leman yitav li b'avurech. Rashi says something which is really, really hard to understand. Yud gimel. Yitnu li matanos. Okay, it should be good for me, and they'll give me presents.
Yeah. I was going to tell you. Okay,
he says Rashi. What Rashi says, it's impossible. What's the good in regard to the matter that relates to you? You're not doing something against your rules. Why? You are permitted to them because you will be single. You're no longer married. If you want to say that he's saying that they're going to be good to me on your account, then he says, you have a tremendous question on Avram. How can he agree that his wife, this wonderful tzaddikah, should be with these uncircumcised Egyptians? How on earth could he accept gifts? That's even one of the prohibitions of the Noahide rules, that you don't have these kinds of illicit relations. Ramban even says that the 400 years of Egypt is because of this. So he says, no, ain't near came to ask Rabbeinu. Shemanu in Yenzeb Echal Yisyonos Shenisibok Kadosh Baruch Hu is Avram Avinu B'hu Ma'ad B'kulam. Says Avram withstood. Avram, passed all the tests. So this is no way that Avram failed here. V'mhoyebo Avon Ashechata Echiach Shavula L'Zchus. How can this be a merit if Avram is sinning here? V'chein Ma'ashem Midrash Api Va'yizkor Alim Es Avram Va'yishalach Es Lot. Ma'uz Kirasho Shel Avram Alot. Later on, we're going to see that Lot gets saved from Sodom. From the destruction of Sodom. How could that happen? It happens in Avram's merit. So Avram gets remembered by God and Lot gets saved. So what's that all about? So the first part, which is underlined here, Sheshama Lot Shamar Avram Mitzrayim Al Sarah Achos Hiva Lo Gila Davar. So one thing which is memorable for Lot is that he heard that Avram is telling everybody that Sarah is a sister, and he didn't give up the fact that they had been married. Even though Noahide wise, they were no longer married when they entered Egypt. So that was number one. V'od, I just skipped the next underline. Next line. V'dzeros geus arba me'el shana shebris ben emsarim haya mukdam lizman yiridas alim etzrayim chamisha shanim. There's an important view which we'll touch on peripherally, that the bris ben emsarim happened when Avram was 70, and he's going down to Egypt when he's 75. So the promise that they're going to be strangers in a strange land has nothing to do with this. So the Ramban making such a suggestion is off the mark. And because it predates this. So they're going down to Egypt for all those years, which we're going to see is a brilliant and beautiful perush on that. We're going to get to that soon. Is completely not connected. Just, so to suggest that Avram is getting punished 400 years because of this story, it just doesn't work. Okay?
Yeah.
So skip now to the three dots about 6 months from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, the perusham, so he quotes a bunch of people. How can Avram say, they're going to make me, they're going to give me gifts, and I'm going to live? Since it seems that Avram is more concerned about gifts than about his life. Insane!
Yeah, be honest.
Okay? So he says, here's the answer. He says, Rashi contradicts himself. And how come we don't know this? Because we never read these Rashis. Shmos Perak Al Paschaf. Shahayud Minukad Bitseire. When the Yud has an A under it, two dots. Mm-hmm. The two dots that make an A sound. Hulashon Hifil. Now, I don't know the grammar. I can't explain to you the grammar.
Causative.
Okay, well, whatever. I couldn't even tell you what causative means. Okay, but the point is, okay. I can translate. I can translate for you, and that's what I'm going to do. Uchshayud bechirik hu lashon yifah. Gone by yitav beinav lashon hutav. Okay, so when it says yitav li, okay, that means one thing. When it says yetiv, yeah, that means something else. Okay, so what's it? So had the pasuk said had Avram said leman yetiv li ba'avurech, that would mean so that it should be good for me. Okay, but what is leman yitav li? Yitavli means it's going to be, meaning Yitavli means will be good for me because they'll be giving me things. But that's not what the pasuk says. The man Yitavli refers to my well-being. Okay? Yitavli, my well-being will be taken care of, v'chaisa nafshi. In other words, they're connected. We were concerned that I was going to die. Well, Yitavli means since they're not going to kill me, v'chaisa nafshi, I will live. Yitav refers to my well-being and has nothing to do with things. Okay?
There's a chirik in this pasuk.
Yes, that's the point. If it were at Seirei, it would mean Laman Yetiv, that they would be good to me by giving me gifts. But it says Laman Yitav. Yitav is referring to my personal well being, which is explained with V'chaysa Nafshi Biglalech.
Got it.
Okay?
Wow.
That's the point. V'tam Yitavli Yitovli. Yitav means it's going to be good for me, meaning. For my in my personal well-being, nothing to do with externalities, gifts, etc. Okay, and to partially prove the point, okay, he look at the next perush. Okay, look at the next perush. When they leave Egypt,
Tezayin
Lavram heitiv ba'avura va'yihi lo tzon v'akar v'chamorim v'avadim u'shfachos v'asanos u'gmalim. Okay, heitiv. So heitiv. What does heitiv mean?
It's going to.
Heitiv means what? Okay, so look. Im paro nasan lo atzon v'avadim ayarolumar ha'yarawi lomar vayiten lo. What does it say? Vayihi lo. What does vayihi lo mean?
And it will be.
No, and it was.
Yeah, Hilo is.
Okay.
Oh, by Hilo.
Okay. Right?
Okay.
So it should be by Yitin, who gave them promotion to Marva Avimelech. Gam lo yitachen lekro tova sano, im nasan lo matana gedola, because of avadim ushvachos sonu vakar gmalim. So you can't call this like a hana'a if he's giving them these great gifts. When the king of Sodom, who was not such a good guy, wanted to give Avram gifts, he's like, you know, not, nothing doing. Okay, so what's the point? Aval perush vayihilo tzon klamar nishar lo kinyan hilacha asher lach. Says that Avram came down with wealth, and he went back with wealth. And what's the heitiv? That the king of Egypt didn't take away from him.
Wow. I never heard that before.
I mean, he's using the language. And he's saying when you ignore the language, you're not paying attention. Vayihilo tzon uvakar. That's not, it doesn't say vayitenlo that he gave it to him. Vayihilo, Avram had. Ulavram heitiv ba'avura. I mean, I didn't even have the time. I couldn't give you everything that he says here, but wow, about ba'avur and what ba'avur means. I knocked half of it out, but it's, you know, he's wow, he's saying that the way that we've learned it up until now, we've been missing the book.
Yeah.
And yes, we have exactly.
Yes. Wow.
Okay. All right. We move on. They come back. Pasuk Gimel. Parakeh Gimel. Let's just read the beginning of Parakeh Gimel, page 58. Okay, well, I'm going to get to the pasuk in a second, but I just want to point something out to you.
Okay.
Hold on a second. So earlier when it doesn't. Hold on a second. Okay, in Parakeh Beis Pasuk Dalet, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. Vayelach Avram kasheh diber elav Hashem, vayelach ito Lot. So when Avram goes because of Lech Lecha, Lot goes ito. What does ito mean?
With
him. Okay. Now, in Parakeh Gimel, we see Vayal Avram Yitzayim Hu Vishto V'chol Hashalo V'lot Imo Hanevo. Okay? Subtle difference. Mm-hmm. Ito versus Imo. Okay? And I'm bringing it to your attention. He actually addresses it in... No, actually not here. He addresses it later. Okay, right. He addresses it later. We'll get to it. We're not going to go into it in great detail, but I'm pointing it out because it's a difference in mindset in terms of how Lot views his relationship with Avram. Okay, and this is a big deal, by the way, in the Bilam story. I think it's Parakeh Beis in the Book of Bamidbar, where Bilam wants to go in one form. I think Vayelech Bilam im Sarei Balaam. He wants to go im them, and God only lets him go es them. Kum lech itam. Es means, you know, you're there together, just in physical space, but you're not there with them in mind.
Imo is machshava.
Right.
And okay. Just
so place. So that's one view of looking at it. Here's a different way of looking at it, and that's, you know, he has a different perspective on that. So we'll see. We'll see how he interprets that. Okay? Vayal Avram Mitzrayim. Okay, so that's what we have. Now, they get into a fight. They can't live in the same space. And so Avram comes along, and very magnanimous, and he says to Lot, Pasuches, Vayomer Avram Lot, Al not him in Riva ben Yuv v'nechem in Raya v'nerecha. Let there not be a fight between me and you, between our shepherds, because we are brothers. Okay, now, what's wrong with my translation?
Nephew.
What word did I just skip?
Oh, what
was that? I said, because we are brothers.
Why do you mean anashim?
Right.
It should be anashim.
Right.
Oh,
okay. So, that's where Ksavei Kabbalah gets on Rashi again. This is Rashi. You skip Anashim. How can you skip the word Anashim? Okay, let's take a look. So first of all, I just wanted to draw your attention. What's the difference between a meriva and a riv? Yesh hevdel bein meriv u'meriva. Riv is an actual fight, whereas a meriva is a source of contention. So that's the first point that he makes. Okay, ki anashim achim anachim. Kol anashim, shem mikra, yore al chashuvim. The word anashim refers to important people. Okay, the spies were called Anashim, Rosh Eben Israel. They were important people. They screwed up, but they were important people. Okay, so Avram gives two reasons for why they should stop this Meriva. Ha'echad, at the second end of the second line, you see where the Ha'echad is in bold and underlined. Shamriva Mitsuya Ben Pechusim Ben Ivazim Lo Ben Chashuve Erech. Okay, Avram says Anashim. Like first of all, we're Anashim. We're important guys. Okay, who gets into a Meriva? Who gets into a source of contention? People who can't work out the differences. So we're, you know, or people who are not so important. But they get into fights over petty stuff. Habez, what's the second reason why there shouldn't be a meriva? B'chad kirvas mishpacha, ra'ui kirvas da'as v'avaz elazat lopir alavavas meriva. Okay, look what he says in the Yiddish. Manners. Okay? Okay?
Okay?
Pervandetez in vir. All right. The Ashkenazi hishmit l'targei milas anashim ki mutara yabeinav.
Ashkenazi Rashi?
I think so. Really? I think so. Okay.
Wow, that's not polite. You said you started by saying it's polite.
I'm not sure, but I think that's what he's saying. Okay, how could you skip anashim? Okay, anyway, so there you go. Okay, but the point is that every word counts, and don't start thinking that it doesn't. So what happens is, Lot takes a look around, and what does he do? Lot goes, Vayisal Lot Mikedem. Take a look in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayivchar Lot Eitz Kol Kikar Yedein, Vayisal Lot Mikedem, Vayipardu Ish Me'elchiv. So Lot chooses to go to the Kikar Yedein, to the Jordan River Valley, and Lot travels Mikedem. What does the word Mikedem mean?
From the east.
Right, doesn't that sound weird? So what do you mean, Vaisa Lot Mikedem? From the east? How could he travel from the east? If he's going to the Jordan River Valley, we know the geography, right? They're in Hebron or wherever they are. You know, they're in the mountains going up the middle of Eretz Canaan. And where's the Jordan River Valley from there?
West?
No. No. It's to the east. Okay, it's to the east. So what do you mean? Vayisalo Mikedem, to the east.
Goes up.
Right. And what's the other problem? It doesn't say, it says Mikedem.
From the east.
Yeah. So what do we have to do? We have to say the word Kedem here does not mean
east.
Oh,
come on.
Ah! That's why you got it. That's why I'm dying. I'm going through this whole parish today. I'm dying the whole day. I'm like, this is amazing. Okay? So look at. Yadano kikikari adain mizrachi lebeisel. Ay, it's to the east. The heim hoyu bein beisel bein ay. Vim kein mami kedem. The Rashi can't tumuim. Shein hefach metzias. Whatever Rashi says, it just doesn't make any sense. Can't say he's going to the east. Uvir mikedem kemo bikedem. Rutz lomar mitzad kedem shel Eretz Yisrael ve'echad mishimush hamem l'shamesh makom beis. And so somebody tries to explain that. What does it mean? That it means east, and that mem is instead of a beis. It's like baloney. Udoch hagadol. You're pushing. Like, it's such a stretch. Benir delzet tirgem unklus mikodem bekadmisa. What does the other word kodem mean?
Before.
That when he went mikedem, he went like he made the first choice. Inyan kadima bezman. No dia ki lot higdim atzmo bebechiras makom shivto l'srachik me'avram. That Lot made a choice. Avram comes over to Lot and he says, Lot, you choose. What should, if Lot were a real mensch, what should he do?
Go and stay with him.
No, he would say, Avram, you choose.
When one says you choose, the other one says you choose, right?
No, but it's not just the other one. Avram's the senior guy. Avram is the one who's the source of all the bracha that comes to Lot. Avram comes over to Lot and says, Lot, you can choose where you want to go. No, Uncle Avram, for heaven's sake, it's not my choice. You choose. Vayisa Lot Mikedem, Lot chose first. That's what Mikedem means.
Wow.
So what? So Shalom Bayis, Avram didn't argue with him, said, okay, what?
Because Avram's an ubermensch.
Yeah.
Umitzad has nothing to do with taxi, by the way. Okay, Umitzad Amusr, Hayaroy, Lov Lahamtin, Lashil Avram Amachira. He should have given Avram first choice. Where Avram chooses to go, I will go from there. What, you think Lot, you're not going to find a place to live? There's plenty of places to go. Okay, that's the point. Mikedem does not mean east, it means first. Okay. Acharei pari Lot me'imo. That's Pasuk Gedalet. Okay? Hashem amar l'avram acharei pari Lot me'imo. Oh, I'm sorry. So that, no, I was correct. The way that I said Imo. So what does it mean that Lot separated Me'imo? Okay?
From his Masha.
Okay? Ule'el. Kozak Sharasha Imo Ayo Dibur Porish Menu. Ah, okay. So that's interesting. Whenever this Russia, so, you know, he's actually being quite critical of Lot, saying when the Russia was Imo, God didn't talk to him. That's Rashi. Ule'el Shayalot Etzlo Chsiv Ayira Hashem El Avram Bo'sa Shah Kosher Haya. Okay, that when God appears to Avram, when Lot is around, Lot was a kosher. It was zenachon del'el. Kasuv vayelech ito Lot, v'kan kasuv ksiv v'lot imo. Ki be'es v'shasao shiluchow im Avram enu rakatafa l'gabe ikar, l'chein amar imo. When's he Russia? When he is imo. What's the point? That he, kishahiluchow im Avram enu rakatafa l'gabe ikar, he's supposed to be the tafil against the ikar who's Avram. Amnam be'ez kashruso yomar ito sheyore al hishtavos. So he's saying that his definition of ito is a little different than what I said before. He's saying that ito is equals, and where I understand that maybe Avram is a little more equal. In other words, Avram is the greater guy, but I'm like, I'm there. Whereas opposed to imo, when Lot is imo, he's a Russia because he thinks he's a little better than Avram. So Ito is before he gets corrupt, before wealth overpowers him. So Ito is when they first come into Canaan. But Imo is later when they're already wealthy, and he's like, come on, I'm a big, who am I? I'm a big guy. Okay, so that's the difference. And so when Lot leaves from Imo, when he's no longer with him, then God could talk to Abram again. Okay, that's the... All right, this one's solid gold. This next one, Tezayin.
All right. Solid.
Okay. What's the first bracha that Avram was given about his children? Pasuk Tazayin. Yeah. Santi Azaracha Kafarat. Asher im yuchal ish limnosis of our arts, gam zaracha yimaneh. How do you translate that pasuk up until you are enlightened by the Kabbalah? Santi Azaracha Kafarat. I'm going to place your children like the dust of the earth. Asher im yuchal ish, that if a person can limnos. What does limnos mean?
Yeah.
Right, exactly. See, you haven't learned him yet. Esafar Haaretz, Gam Zaracha Yimaneh. Okay, that just as a person can count, if a person could count the Afar Haaretz, your children will also be Yimaneh. Okay, now let's think like the Tzav HaKabbalah. What is another way to translate the word Limanos?
A point.
Bingo. Okay, a point. It's not about count, and that's his point. Limanos is a fire. Lo nuchal v'reish limanos inyam espar minyanim. Sorry, not numbers. Avol. Milas limanos. Perish inyan chashivus. Refers to importance. Skip to the bold. V'tamo hayesh efshari l'agbil chashivus of ha'aretz. Is it possible to no, to...
No,
in other words, to identify. L'agbil means to like to make a border. Can you put a value on the importance of Afar Haaretz, Gam Zaracha Yimaneh Kacha, Yeh Chashivu Zaracha. That's the way your children are. Can we put a value on the importance of your children? Komar, Ke Chashivu Afar Haaretz L'Tawel Sa'olam, like the importance of the dust of the earth for the world's survival, in Yan Chayim Agishamim, or L'Chayim Chayim Agashmim, right, regarding their physical lives. What is the value of the earth for the physical lives of humanity? Well, all the produce of the earth comes out of the dust of the earth. Can't put a value on that. Right, there's the old joke about the scientist who says, God, you created, we can create. You know, we're just as strong as you. So God says, okay, we'll make the same conditions, and you'll create a man, and I'll create a man. So scientist starts to form a shape of man with the dust of the earth, and God says, excuse me, use your own dirt. Okay. Yeah, right? Yeah. Right? So the joke, you know, but that's the point. The point is you can't put value on the dust of the earth, and that's for Gashmius. So for Ruchnius is saying you can't put a value. It's like it's priceless what the Jewish people are supposed to give to the world. Right? The Jewish people bring the real God to the world. Without the Jewish people, what's God? Okay, and people can have their own definitions of God. Obviously, people do. But who brought that to the world? And those who recognize it actually value the Jewish people very much. And the Midrash says, the Midrash doesn't talk about numbers. Just as the dust of the earth covers the entire world, your children will cover the world. Just as the dust of the earth is only blessed with water, right? Without water, nothing grows. The Jewish people are only blessed if they have the Torah. Just as afar can swallow metal and it will preserve it, make it last, so too the Jewish people will exist forever. By the way, just to prove this point about the dust preserving metal, I just saw an article about a story I never heard about. It's a couple years old. There was a Mississippi steamboat called Arabia, which sunk in the 1850s. Okay, somewhere in the Mississippi Valley, you can go search it.
Stuck in the mud, and there it is.
Stuck in the mud. Somebody, they found it. They sucked out all the mud and all that, and there was stuff in there that was preserved like it was yesterday. Okay. They were like pickles and olives preserved, still edible. Because it was Steamboat Arabia. Go look it up. Okay? Amazing. So that's the Jewish people. Don't ask. Okay.
That is solid gold.
Amazing. Right? Told you.
Because we've always been a small nation.
Yeah.
So this has never come true in terms of money, in terms of counting. So why not?
All right, here we go. Okay, Parak Yudalit, move on. Okay. So, he actually gives a background for why this story is important regarding the Yerusha later on of Lot and Esav getting all these areas. Okay, Lot and Esav being descendants of Abraham, right? Meaning Moab, Ammon, and Esav being on the east of the Jordan River, that's where their areas are. And so that's, he says, that's the reason for this, because Avram, when he defeats these guys, he basically owns their land. And so that's that background. And then he moves on to Pasuk Yibes. Pasuk Yibes, Vayikhu es Lot es Rechusho ben Achi Avram Vayilechu. So Lot is described as ben Achi Avram. Thank you very much. We all know who Lot is. So why is Lot's relationship to Avram being mentioned here? Karidam yu Lot. Lo ba'al ha'kasim ka'am rak lo dienu. Shalo lo'ku es Lot Rechusho misiba seyoso nechlal tok shari yoshe. Yari rak sibas prati shabo. The reason why Lot was taken was because of his connection to Avram. And essentially, the point that he brings spills over to the next pasuk, when Avram is described as Vayavo Apalit Vayagid LaAvram HaEvri. Avram is described as Avram HaEvri. Why Avram HaEvri? Okay. in other places, look at his commentary here. B'shar makomos lo'uz karak shem Avram levado v'chan tzir kam shmo yichisot shu ivri kirap m'b'china zu yisarir apalit la'agid la'davar elav li'oso ivri. He's talking to Avram because he's an ivri. We're going to get to the ivri definitions in a second. We're going to get to that in a second. That's the next commentary. That's the next pasuk. Okay, or it's the next paragraph, rather. Okay, that what was it? Shehisarir la'achzik be'munas achdus eluhus hefech da'as amrafel shu nimrod. Okay, one of the midrashim identifies Amraphel. It's one of the kings that Avram was defeating as Nimrod. And what was Nimrod's beef with Avram? Nimrod's the guy who threw Avram into the fire. And what was that all about? What was that all about? That was a religious war. Vasher misibaso hukrach Avram la'azov eretz mulatov v'zeh yesibag dol eretz Avram sono la'mod negdov likachas nikmaso v'meno. Basically, Avram defeated Nimrod. He embarrassed Nimrod. So Nimrod is coming back in the form of Amraphel to fight against Avram, and he's trying to entice him into battle. So the Vayavo HaPalit, Vayagid LaAvram HaEvri, Avram HaEvri, yeah, come on. How is he going to get Avram out of his stronghold? Well, he gets him into the battle, on the battlefield, open warfare. Then he can finally get Avram back.
Wow.
Why is that important? Because he's Avram HaEvri. Now, where does Avram HaEvri come from? That's the next one. Bereshis Rabbah, he says, Shloshet Deos B'tam Shem HaEvri. Three reasons why Avram is possibly called Ivri. First one, Ha'echad, because he comes from B'nai Aver. Ivri, Aver. Beis, Shem Kamilios, Aver Hanar. Okay, the one that you mentioned, Stuart. And Vadei Ashlishit, he comes from the Aver Hanar. And the third one is, Kol Olam Kulo Me'Aver Echad, V'Me'Aver Echad. Everyone else is on one side, and Avram is on a different side. What does that mean? That is...
War?
No, that is...
Monotheism.
Okay? So he rejects the first two, actually. He says, why, if Avram was a big famous guy and Aver is not such a famous guy, why would he be called Ivri? Just Avraham Abrahami. I mean, you know, that's what he should be called. And as far as being Aver and Ahar, sorry, millions of people or whatever, thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people live on the Aver and Ahar. So you're going to call them, this guy is the Ivri because he comes from the other side? No. What makes him Ivri? He's the only Ivri. Why is he Ivri? Because of his mindset. Okay? Avram liyoso chelak iman shei doro odos ha'emuna amitis, because Avram was against everybody else with regard to religion or faith, belief, trust. V'zeh ha'davar ha'mamutza ben shnei ha'tzadim Avram ha'yatzad shekneg b'chol doro ha'chokim al shem zeh nikra ivri. He is the only guy who is ivri, and that's why he is he's on the other side. Okay, and he continues that the point here. And one of the things which he said, did I get rid of it? Oh, how did I get rid of it? Well, there was a line here where he says that religious warfare is like the strongest of all. Okay? Anyway, but that's his view. That's his explanation. Okay? Okay, told you. Worth it. Worth it for coming. This guy is
Tabak Nibal. Nimrod planned this. Nimrod planned this to get Avram to.
That's why we know when he discovered who Lot was. Says, oh, you're a relative of Avram. Okay, well, I'll kill everybody else, but you, you're going into my jail. Because you are the bait. Amazing, right?
Amazing.
Okay, we move on. Okay, amazing stuff. Parak Tesvav, Bris Ben Yamsar. Okay, so we're moving on. Achar Adrin Va'ila, Hayad Varsham Avram Machzeli Marti Ravram, Pasuk Beis, Vayom Ravram. Mati ten libe anochi alecha ariyu v'meshek b'yisiyu damesek Eliezer. God, what are you going to give me? And I'm going, ariri, you know, I'm childless. Okay, v'yomer Avram hein li l'nasat zar v'hem b'nei b'mitzi yereshus, I have no children. God says, this guy's not going to inherit you, it's going to be, you're a child. And then he says to Avram, go count the stars, if you can count them. Your children will be like this. And he views it as tzedakah. And then God tells him, I took you out of Ur Kasdim, Pasuk Ches. With what will I know that I will inherit? Okay, so this is the things which we're going to be looking at. Mati Tin Liv. Okay, so we're now in Pasuk Beis. Mati Tin Liv. Okay? And why did I give you all this? Okay, I want to skip to the part which is important. I want to skip to the part which is in
bold.
Yeah, in bold. Okay, that's why I did this. Okay, basically he says, you know, this doesn't make any sense that Avram is like asking for stuff. Okay, because Avram has already been given all these promises. When Avram came, Vayavor Avram Ba'aretz, Abekom Shechem, God says to him, I'm going to give you and your children this land. So why is Avram, that's in Perek Bay. So why is Avram asking this question now? What's he asking? Hu derech tema. Kemo ma asisa lanu mechatasilach. Okay, he's not asking God practical. He's saying, ma titen li, oh my goodness. The question is rhetorical. Okay? Ma asisa, right.
He's astonished.
Okay. So then he quotes the Mechilta de Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Mechilta de Rashbi. Amar lei Kadosh Baruch Hu le'Avram Anochi Magen Lach b'Hayah Alma Scharcha Harbei Me'od b'Alma De'Asi. He says, I'm protecting you b'Hayah Alma in this world, and your Scharcha Harbei Me'od, your Schar is much more in the world to come. Mi'ad Arkar Avram Barzah de'Chachmasa v'Amar Matiten Li Tahedana de'Lo Yikabel Agar u'Me'al b'Ahu Alma Barnash de'Lo Libar. Avram is like, he's a little lost because he's saying, I don't have any children, so what's the point? Matitin Li, like, I mean, I can get whatever I want, but there's no point if I'm not going to have it. So it's more of an astonishment than a no, give me. Look at the last line in this paragraph. Midrash Hanelam, Kol Mi She'in Lo Banim Ba'Olam Hazeh, Ki'ilu Lo Nivra, V'Lo Haya, V'Nikra Riri, Min Olam Hazeh, Min Olam Ba. Avram's point is, I don't have what I need this world for and next world for if there isn't a child. But again, it's not a no, give me. It's a. I mean, I'm at a loss. You're telling me that you're going to do all this. I've already done so much. So why do I deserve? Why do I deserve? And that's the most difficult question. Also, b'ma idaki yirashana, which we're going to get to momentarily. Okay. So now the question is usfora kochavim. Okay. So what's that? We saw with the dust that it's not referring to numbers. So what about the stars? Is it also not referring to numbers? V'itachen lomar, look at the bold. Gam ken kinyan sfira shamar kan lo al hakamus ki yim al ha'echus. It's not about the quantity. It's about the quality. Okay? You have to look at the psukim. I did not look them up. It's about quality. And by the way, the Ksavya Kabbalah, which is one of the main sources for why Stuart, I have allowed us to daven marav a little early on Shavuos night, because he says Shiva Shavuos, counting Shiva Shavuos, it's not about quantity, it's not about seven complete weeks, 49 complete days. It's about quality. It's about the quality of the days. When it says your children will be like this, it's not referring to amounts. Ko is never referring to amount. Ko refers to just like this, and it refers to quality, not quantity. So when Avram is told Ko yezaracha, it's not referring to numbers; it's referring to quality. So the quality of stars is they are bright, they illuminate, they're voluminous, but that's quality, not quantity. Okay, I'm going to skip the next one. Vayachshavila tzedaka. It's nice, but it's. It's too involved. I don't want to get into it. Okay, Ani Hashem. So God says to him, Ani Hashem, Asher Tzisicha Meir Kastim. I am Hashem. So one of the questions that he raises is
Pasuk Zayin.
It's the first one in Shishi. Okay? One of the questions that he raises is, what's up with the phrase Ani Hashem? What's the difference between Ani and Anochi? Okay? So actually, I'm not going to go through it inside. I'm just going to tell you the way I understand what his difference is. He brings examples from when God refers to himself as Anochi or Ani, or in some cases people refer to themselves as Ani, like Rakhain or Anochi. Rakhain, for example, says Hashomer Achi Anochi. So what's the difference between Anochi and Ani? He says Anochi means me and no one else. So when Kain is saying Hashomer Achi Anochi, am I the only person who's supposed to watch over my brother and nobody else? Question mark. Okay? When God says Anochi Hashem Lokecha Asher Tzitzicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, right, it's I and no one else. And what's the proof? What's the next pasuk? Lo Yalecha Elohim Achim Rapanai. Okay, so that's what Anochi means. Ani is identifying something that does not require clarification, but uses an identifier. So for example, when Yosef says to his brothers, Ani Yosef Achichem, it's very clear when he says Ani Yosef who I am, but he's using a clarifier, which is Achichem, your brother. Okay, I don't have the time to go through all this, but I gave you much of it, and I pointed out all the psukim that he uses to prove the point, and if you want to go through it, you can do that, and also towards the end where it's underlined, Ha'evdel Bein Kan L'Matan Torah, we'll do that one. Okay, so just do that one. Kan Havaya Behei Nose Le'etzem Hamidbar V'Shalel Bazeh She'en L'Torim Shabrius L'Chein Amar Ani Hashem. So what is he saying? Where is it? Fisha Avram Adayin Lo Ayelo Hakara Gemura Shul Yisbarach Yesh Lo Toar Havaya Brichu L'chein Amar Ani Hashem Lo Diyu Sheyesh Lo Zeh HaTor. So what he's saying, when he's saying I am Hashem, he's identifying himself. It does not require clarification, but he's using an identifier. Ani Hashem Asher Hotzei Zicha Me'ur Kasdim. Doesn't require, meaning Avram, you know who I am. We've talked about this. You figured it out. I'm the guy who took you out of Egypt. But he doesn't have to say to Avram Anochi as opposed to anyone else. He doesn't have to say me and no one else. Avram doesn't assume there's anyone else. Okay, Egypt, the Jews leaving Egypt, they needed that clarification. Why? Yes. Because they were in Egypt. They were idolaters. Okay, so that's why he says, and so he concludes in the last line there. L'chein amar sham anochi Hashem ratzalom lo acher. Because for the people who were coming out of Egypt, they needed that clarification, as opposed to Avram didn't need that clarification. Okay, again, it's a lot more to be read here. But it's fascinating because there, here it's Ani Hashem Asher Tzitzicha, and there it's Anochi Hashem Asher Tzitzicha. What's the difference? Well, that's the difference. The difference is who the target audience is. The Ma'ida. Next one. Ein Ma'amar Zeh Shum Sheilu Vakasha Ki Chalila Le'ov Hashem Listapek Bamitas Diburo Yisbarach Vekiyumo. Everyone says that Avram asked a question that he shouldn't ask. Whether it's that he gets punished because he asked a question that he shouldn't ask, which is, I think, the Kli Yakar's view, if I'm not mistaken. Or whether it's like Rashi's view that says this is the reason why he gets the 400, or Ramban's view, whichever one it was, because he asked such a rude question. Oh, what, you don't trust in God? He says, no, that's not what it is. And he gives the background. Just skip to the part which is in bold, and I have to do this in the interest of time. That what's Avram saying? Avram was looking at himself and said, like, how did this happen? He's not saying to God, hey God, what's going on? When am I going to know? How am I going to, what needs to happen? Avram was looking at himself and he's saying, what did I do to deserve this? Like, what is it about me that allows me to inherit all this and to get all this chesed that God is doing for me? Avram viewed himself as a nothing. All the righteous things that Avram did to him was like, I'm just a guy. I'm not doing anything special. Avram didn't see anything in himself that was deserving of anything. And certainly to get this gift of this land sometime in the future. It's like David said, who am I? Who am I that you brought me to this place? Like what? How am I? How, there's nothing about me that's worth any. How on earth could I be viewed in such a way? There's no way. Avram is not looking for an answer when he says he's talking himself. It's just he's just wondered and blown away.
Yes.
What is it? It's like when we say to God, "What is man that you should know him?" Like, what's man? It's nothing. God, it's nothing. So skip to the fourth line at the period. So when everyone's trying to say what Avram's sin was, all they're trying to do is explain why Avram is being told about the galus. When you want to say Avram asks a question, and so he's given this information. So if you want to say that Avram's sinning here, they're really answering the question of why is Avram told about the galus? But the galus is coming for a whole bunch of different reasons, unrelated to anything that happens in this particular case, and certainly unrelated to what Avram is saying here. If people want to say Avram sinned and ask him this question, so that's only the way that they're explaining why Avram is told this information. Right? As I think it was the Kliyakar who said, Avram, you asked a question you don't need to know the answer to? For example, Bamayidaki or Shana, I'm going to give you information you don't need to know. That your children are going to be strangers in a strange land. If your great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, who you're never going to see, are going to be slaves somewhere, do you want to know that?
No.
Yeah,
no. Right?
No.
No. Okay, and that's the point. That maybe Avram was asking a question he didn't need the answer to, so Avram's given information he didn't need to have. That's the Mida Kenegad Mida. But the Gullus itself, completely unconnected to anything that's going on over here. Okay? Gary has aracha. Avram, strangers are going to be a strange land. What was the pasuk gimel? Let's look at it. Yedoa tedach. Gary has aracha. Be'eretz lo lahem v'avodim yinu osam abram yoshana. Okay, so there's a 400-year period. The gam esagoy asher avodah dana nochi, and I'm going to judge those who they work for. Okay. So gzera is such a tafshana. So the gzera has a few different elements. It's going to be 400 years. Bein Gerus, between being strangers, Bein Eretz Lo Lahem, between being in a land which is not theirs, Ubein Abdus V'Inui, and between slavery. Okay, when we say 400, when does the 400 years begin? We know Yitzhak, in hindsight,
Yitzhak?
The birth of Yitzhak. Okay, yeah. So in other words, Gerus, being strangers in a strange land. Why? Because the land is not yours yet. When do you get the land? When they come back. So they're strangers in a strange land. Eretz Lo Lahem, in a land which does not belong to them. Who ends up in a land that's not belonging to them? Yaakov. Where's Yaakov? For 20-some-odd years. He's in...
Mitzrayim?
No, he's in Laban's house.
I mean, it's Laban's house. Oh,
okay, and then later on in Mitzrayim.
Right, okay.
And when is Avdus and Inui? Right, so all the time that they're in Egypt, before slavery begins, when does slavery begin? After the death of the last of the sons of Yaakov. It doesn't begin before then. So they're strangers in a strange land. Eretz Lo Lahem. It's not that slavery has to be 400 years. That was never the intent. Okay? That's the point. That's the point that he brings out of here. Okay. here's another one. Va'avadum v'inu osam arba me'oshana. Take a look at the pasuk. Where's the esnachta in the pasuk?
Which pasuk?
Yud Gimel. Okay. They're going to be strangers in a strange land. Va'avadum v'inu
osam.
Okay. On osam. Okay. So it's not v'inu osam arba me'oshana. They're going to make them suffer for 400 years. It's what's the pasuk? Va'avadum v'inu osam. That's the sum total of everything that was described up until now. Not 400 years of slavery. So that was never the... He's saying that was never the promise. Okay? That's the point that I made where I bolded the esnach. The esnach is on the word osa. Okay? Wow. Next. Abraham Yoshana. Oh, I don't have time to go through this. Okay. So he makes a distinction. So look at the pasuk. Look at the pasuk. They're going to be strangers in a strange land. He makes a distinction between the difference between acharechein and ve'acharechein. What is the vav of vi'achrechein? The vav of vi'achrechein means that it's going to be sometime in the future and afterwards. Without a vav, something is coming earlier than anticipated. With the vav, it's being pushed later. He gives a lot of examples. I don't have the time to go through it all, unfortunately, but that is what that is all about. Okay, that's the first part. And then Yetzu Berechush Gadol, that's going to have to be what we're going to conclude with, okay? Yetzu Berechush Gadol, that's going to be our last one. Okay, because we're at the hour mark, so that's it. Okay, Yetzu Berechush Gadol. So, let's take a look. Yetzu Berechush Gadol. Kol Maschil, Al Korchach Yoideh, She'en Rechush Amamah Taklis HaMechuvan B'Shibud. So what's the question with, they're going to go out with Rechush Gadol? They're going to go out with great riches? Hey, Avraham, your family is going to be very wealthy. They have to go through slavery in order to get it. But if they're going to be wealthy, why can't you just do that now? What do we need slavery for? Okay, I remember once hearing the story about this father-in-law. He takes his new son-in-law and he says to him, I'm giving you half my business. You could either work in the field, like, you know, whatever the, out of the field, whatever that means, like not literally a field, or you can be an office worker. So what do you want to be? You want to be the guy who goes around or you want to be the office worker? He says, no, I don't want to. So which one do you want to be? You want to work in the field? He says, no, I don't want to work in the field. He says, do you want to work in the office? I don't want to work in the office. So you want, what do you want to do? I want you to buy me out. Okay. Like, that's, like, you know, just take care of business now. What do we need else for? So it would seem to imply that they're going to be going out for a Rechush Gadol, that's the goal. Is that the goal? Hagir Tirtzeh, Ishlis Bolt Chila, Yinui Va'avus Bishvil HaRavachas Maman Acharav, you know, spare me the 200 years of slavery, or however long slavery is going to be, if I'm going to get paid in 200 years. Guess what? I'm not even going to live this year. Thank you very much. Halo Yomar Loma Uptzach Loma Duvosh. I don't want. Gam Hachin Inna V'Cheiko Yisbarach L'Shpia L'Hem Ruchush Maman B'Derech Acharis. Right, God, if you really want to pay us, there are other ways to do it. You don't have to have Egypt pay us on our way out. V'od Ruchush Maman B'Kesef Zahav Hevel Heimel L'Chol Maskil. Yeah, God's giving one talk here, but there's a much deeper thing going on. Even though, yes, he's saying that they're going to leave Egypt with wealth, says, what is the goal of the Shibud? A rechush nafshi, a spiritual inheritance. And there is no way that could have happened without going through Egypt. He promised him, your children are going to be illuminating like the stars. Okay? To teach over the truth of God's essence. Everything about the awesomeness and amazingness of God. This is what your children are going to inherit. And that's what they're going to have to teach to the world. How on earth are they going to do that?
Sounds like Chabad guys. I mean, sounds like, you know.
It's actually much deeper. There was an article this week in Times of Israel, written by a teenager who was in high school, who said modern Orthodoxy is very nice, but guess what? We can do everything. We know how to put on tefillin. We know how to wash. We know how to bench. Check, 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 check. Where's the love of God? Wow. I hate to say it, but there's been an Orthodox resurgence in this country for 70 years, okay? Picked up in the 50s and 60s. Why? I don't want to say, but something happened in the 40s, which I think contributed a lot. Wow. Never could have gotten to this if they were just living in peace, you know, smoke weed every day in the land of Israel. Not happening. There would have been no reason, rhyme, pause, anything for the wonders, the miracles, the pirsamba olam aydehem yidios amitios. They needed to see the wonders of Egypt in order to be able to say, this is our God. And that's the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, very important Ramban, who says all the miracles of Egypt were done for a one-time deal, and they're for a one-time deal so that we can always, l'man yedu doro sechem, so we can always tell our children, our next generation, we can have a Pesach Seder, and we could say, that's what happened. God showed himself once, and that's important. If they're just living in the land and everything's great and hunky dory and we have all the wealth we need and want, then what do we need the Torah for? So that generation, they needed to go through Shibud, through slavery in Egypt. They needed to go through, it's a purification process. They needed to purge any tumma and grossness. To become pure. We call them mishubeshes. When you're a slave, there's nothing else that you want except whatever the freedom is going to provide for you. What's the freedom going to provide for you? Well, you'll understand it when there's a guy named Moshe who's telling you all about God. They're able to see the truth of God's essence and his abilities. That was the point. They became ready to have God's presence in their midst without a medium, without an intermediary, and to inherit the Holy Torah. He says that was the whole point of the Shibud. And he said they're going to be leaving with a great inheritance. What's the great inheritance? When you attach to the rechush the word gadol, what's echus again? Not quantity, quality. The quality and the importance. Ki gadol Hashem. God is great. What, gadol, God is a lot. God is a lot of money. Ve'ish Moshe gadol. Moshe is a big guy. No, he's great. He neyora bebirush and mechuba beyetsu berechush gadol gam rechush nafshi udvarav nachon meod. He says it's all about the great spiritual inheritance. That is what Abraham was being told about, and it's true. It was true then, and lo aleinu, it's true now. You read this article written by a teenager who was very self-aware. He says, we have everything we could possibly need. And so what do we not have? What's missing in our lives? This chush. This rechush. The chush and the rechush. The rechush nafshi. And it's a damning excoriation of where we are. Thank God, you know, we don't live under any kind of shibud, so we don't know what it means to need or want this.
But we still raise our families and tell our children all these difficulties.
We do, but are we getting the message across? We're trying. And halavai, we should be successful. Amen. But that's what this is all about.